Legends, the greatest social casino and sportsbook experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
How are you feeling?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek, Season 2, Episode 22, Parental Discretion Advised. You know why? Fuck you, that's why. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Is this because I didn't know what a tartlet is? Hello, listeners. We are getting into this season finale, as the WB announcer fancily used to pronounce it, in just a second. But first, we have some pod business. And let us begin with Again With This, episode 218, which will drop December 6th. Let's watch Jack Wagner in Hallmark Drama's Christmas Cookie Matchup. Yes, let's. That episode, season 1, episode 2, is on Vimeo. We will link it in the show notes.
We also want to tell you about some adjustments to our schedule for the holidays. Starting next Monday, December 9th, which is when we will bring two festive Jason Priestley episodes out from behind the Patreon paywall. That's going to be Again With This, episode 123, Christmas at Tiffany's, and episode 171, True Calling, from last year. We'll also be dropping brand new bonus episodes for Patreon supporters every Friday in December. And since episode 219 drops on Friday the 13th of December, we will be watching Rebecca Gayhart in Santa's Sleigh, S-L-A-Y, from 2005. You can find that on Stars. We'll link it in the show notes.
We'll also be off December 16th, so listeners on the free feed will get to hear our bonus episodes featuring Star vs. Stars experiencing wintry disasters. That's episode 92, Ice Spiders. I have fond memories of that one. And episode 144, Trapped Colon Buried Alive. Mm-hmm. And that Friday, Patreon supporters will get Again With This, episode 220, Let's Watch Laura Layton in Naked City, : Killer Christmas from 1998. That is on YouTube, and we will link that in the show notes as well.
Since the next Monday is December 23rd, aka Christmas Eve Eve, you might think you're going to get another Patreon defaulting. Wrong! That's when we will bring you your holiday gift, a resumption of our regular schedule, and our episode on Dawson's Creek, Season 3, Episode 1, Like a Virgin. So if you need something to keep you company while you take a little walk away from your family, we'll be there for you, and we'll be there with episode 2 on December 30th, and so on after that, every Monday, as usual. To get all of the new content over that time on the Friday episodes, you can join us at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Any level of support gets you all of those bonus episodes we just told you about. So check them out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now this episode, once again, just the one plot line. All eyes are on the Ice House, the locus for all of Capeside's criminal activity, while the prospects of Jack and Dawson separately leaving town elicit very different reactions in your co-hosts. The Age of Innocence is playing on the TV in Dawson's room when he abruptly turns it off in the middle of the carriage scene before the glove unbuttoning and hand kissing, the most erotic moment in the movie.
Probably didn't want to invite unwanted comparisons, if I had to guess.
Perhaps. Joey, watching with Dawson, objects, but he says he has had enough unrequited love for the night. Joey finds a new word to use wrong. Clip two.
I wonder what sick part it is about me that thrives off of these kinds of love stories.
Who taught you this one? Amy Sugarman? You mean vibes with, not thrives off? Although that phrase wasn't really in slang use then. Or what part of me is drawn to, or just why I find them appealing? Please stop this madness, you thesaurus bots. I hate it. But they don't. They go on. Clip three.
The kinds that end unhappily?
No, and the kinds that never really end. I mean, think about it. To continue loving somebody when there's no promise of that love ever thriving, that is romance.
I mean, also, that's not unrequited. It's
right.
Just stymied.
Right. Ooh. Dawson disagrees with Joey's read. Clip 4.
That is tragedy.
Not all love stories have a built-in happy ending, Dawson.
True, but why revel in the ones that don't?
I'm sorry. Sad stories are just more powerful. I prefer them.
But then, do you think that...
Speak.
Do you think that kind of preference has some kind of effect in your own love story?
It absolutely does.
And that doesn't worry you?
No, because the effect is positive. I mean, it's movies like these that remind me of how unmovable and strong love can be.
But they don't end happily. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis never gets Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's not their fault. It's just the circumstances.
But what good is her love if it's not strong enough to overcome those circumstances?
Because in spite of the circumstances, they never stop loving.
So tell me, Joey Potter.
Huh.
Will you always love me? No matter what the circumstances?
Doesn't matter. We get the happy ending.
God.
Oh, with the foreshadowing. These cold opens were so much more heavy-handed than I remembered.
Yeah, same. Also, that whole cottage industry of misusing Edith Wharton's works as, various parallels to WB dramas. Like, your character should be reading these books for class. Maybe you should do the same.
Do you think James Vanderbeek has ever read a woman writer, like other than Harper Lee, maybe?
Naomi Wolf, maybe.
Maybe now, yeah.
Sick burn on them both.
True. Also, it's not no matter what the circumstances, it's just no matter the circumstances. Stop making me copy edit entire scenes! The next day, Dawson asks Gail whether he should tell Joey about seeing Mike dealing drugs again, disguising the question in hypotheticals. Gail says Dawson's options are either to snitch to the person he cares about or confront the person who's doing the bad thing in the hopes that it will make them stop. Dawson clumsily says, "Dad's got nothing on you," so that Gail can use it as a segue to say she's taking the job in Philadelphia. Dawson idiotically asks if this is what she really wants, and Gail even more idiotically says that basically she's doing this because Mitch rejected her. Please, Gail, just go. Hurry up. Get out of here. Then Dawson and his terrible two-tiered hair are picking Joey up to walk her to school. When she has to go back inside for some notes, Mike comes up behind Dawson making small talk. Dawson says he's doing fine. Clip 5.
How about you?
Doing good. Doing real good.
And legal?
Ooh, sly.
I mean, I don't think this is actually a terrible play for a teenage boy.
Sure.
Dawsoning aside.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he's going to get self-righteous and take it too far because Dawson, but
right.
Mike sort of communicates that he was clocked and got it. And that's where you, still a minor, stop thinking about stepping to someone who was incarcerated and could kick you to death and just go do something else. But like they had me and then they lost me kind of with this.
Right. So Mike's face falls, but he is saved when Joey comes back out and Mike offers them the under-construction ice house to study and snack in. Joey's about it and Dawson then can't really refuse. Elsewhere, Jen and Jack walk up to school with takeout coffees so he can exposit about the all-nighter she pulled in the den the previous night. And he can exposit that she was writing a paper on teen suicide, so content warning for that. Clip 6.
You have a lot to say about teen suicide? Should I start to plan the intervention?
Well, not just yet. I mean, I'm not on the window ledge right now.
Right now?
This conversation just took a decidedly gruesome turn.
No, it's just realistic.
Realistic to who?
Well, to most teenagers. The materials that I read cite a high percentage as having considered suicide at least once. Come on, haven't you ever?
Maybe one time, yeah, but since I've been dealing with everything, it hasn't really crossed my mind. The world doesn't scare me as much as it used to. What's your answer?
Jennifer. Hi, Grimes.
There are probably better, faster ways to get called into the guidance counselor, but writing a paper about teen suicide is at the top of the list or near it.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, what was the actual assignment is right. The question, but yeah.
Jen says she's late for class. Graham says she wants her to come home. Jen tartly says she has a home. Grams knows Jen wants her independence, but this situation isn't right. I don't know how Grams even knows what the situation is, but I guess it's a small town. She's heard. Who knows?
That being the case, why hasn't Sheriff Witter heard and ordered Jen to go back to her guardian's domicile? But
right,
let's not relitigate this right now again.
Jen says Jack is used to taking care of himself and Jen wants to learn how. Grams desperately says that Jack has no alternative, but Jen does. I don't believe that line coming out of Grams' mouth. Sorry. Like, I know it's setting up what ends up happening at the end of the episode, but that's rough. That's a rough one for her.
Yeah.
Jen quietly says Grams hasn't even brought up why Jen left, and Jen doesn't want to get into it right now, which, you know, you left because she kicked you out, not unjustifiably, but, you know, I think you both owe each other an apology.
Yeah, the continued writing of this as though they are estranged romantically and both adults
right.
continues to frustrate. But fortunately, we're rounding the clubhouse turn on this foolishness.
We are. For now, Grams just stands there reeling while Jen marches into school and tries to stop Jack as he keeps peeking back at her. And then Sheriff Witter's dropping Pacey off at school when Pacey hears a mention of the ice house on the radio and asks if they're staking it out. Sheriff Witter sternly says that's none of Pacey's concern. Turn the radio off then, guy. Mm-hmm. Pacey assumes Sheriff Witter's about to start harassing Mike, which Sheriff Witter denies, but sounding like he doesn't think anything he does can be harassment because he's a cop and he's entitled, like, basically, right? Was that your read as well? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pacey sticks up for the supposedly new and improved Mike, but Sheriff Witter is not here for it. Clip 7.
Guy deserves a break.
I'll be the judge of that. In the meantime, you got a final to get to. Now, don't screw it up.
Is there any possibility that your advice will ever take on a positive tone?
I am positive. You better not screw it up.
Gee, Dad, you know, it's really great that we can have these talks every morning.
Arm grab.
Since your little girlfriend left, your attitude has gone from bad to worse, and I don't approve of it. No girl is worth messing up your life over. You hear me?
May I go now, sir?
There's such a specificity of calling her your little girlfriend as opposed to your girlfriend. And, like, I can't really put my finger on it. I mean, I guess it's just that it's condescending. It's not that complicated, but that's good writing.
Yeah. I would also say that this is quite good acting from John Finn, who the writing can't necessarily decide even within a single scene whether he's, like, gruff dad jokes guy who is, like, trying to reach out and just doesn't have, like, emotional language, whatever, or if he is this abusive, emotionally and institutionally corrupt figure against whose rocks Pacey is constantly being dashed, which, like, I understand that you're trying to do both, but these writers aren't quite good enough
right.
to do it, and John Finn is papering over a lot of gaps.
Yes.
I mean, oof, talk about bad writings. Sorry. There were like 20 different symbol sets there. Sorry. I'm going to put down the thesaurus now.
I think they both are, though. I think they both are, like, finding a version of emotional truth in these scenes that are, like, not necessarily consistent for the characters.
Yeah, agree. Yeah, Joshua Jackson obviously is good in these two, even though sometimes, given what we have seen him go through in the last season and change, it's kind of like, are we doing this again?
Right.
But they put good personnel on it, so you don't notice as much.
Mm-hmm. So Dawson rolls up just as Pacey violently slams the car door and quietly bitches about Sheriff Witter being how he is. And also, when Dawson asks, Pacey says no, he hasn't heard from Andy yet. Bad moods, probably. Just a coincidence. And then in class, Mr. Milo hands out blue books for a final in, I'm guessing based on the piñata, Spanish, and is dismayed to see Pacey ignore it and stretch out mopily on his desk. Over to the ice house, where shit gets awkward as soon as Mike sees Dawson is there. And when the shot cuts to Dawson head on, I'm going to have to assume this was around the time that Vanderbeek was in varsity blue shape, because his neck is the width of his head. You can see this in the visual aid.
God.
It's so wide.
It and his nostrils are almost as wide as his neck. So yeah, there's a, it's a lot of Dawsoning.
It is. In all dimensions. Anyway, clip 8.
Suppose you want to know what the hell I think I'm doing.
No. Not really. I'm just here to tell you that whatever it is, I don't believe it. I saw you in the back room with Pete the other day when I was returning your tools. I don't believe it. I don't believe that a man who claims to love his children with all his heart and all his soul would traffic cocaine through the family business.
Dawson.
I do believe that anyone engaged in such a blatant criminal activity would put the well-being of his family ahead of his own selfishness and remove himself from the situation.
What if that man found himself stuck? Could you believe that?
Well, if that were true, a smart man do absolutely everything in his power for the sake of the people who love him to unstick himself. And he'd do it fast.
I really wanted one of them to be like, wait, I forgot which one of these guys I am in this analogy.
I know.
Like, so many hypotheticals.
I know. Let's just say this man smacked a child who is not his child. Because that's what I'd do fast in this situation, but
you should stick his foot up your ass. I mean, no, it's hard when Dawson's right. He is right about this, but, you know.
Yeah, he is.
Minus the part where he's just like, well, you know, unstick yourself. Like, well, if that were easy, he probably would have done that or not gotten stuck in the first place.
Yeah.
You know,
if he's
like
doing this because he has no choice slash has been threatened, maybe you don't want to let on that you know anything about it.
Yeah.
Material witness guy.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. Teen drama. Moving on.
Yes. So then we're with the Leary parents in the sun porch discussing the logistics of Gail's move. Gail thinks Dawson could spend summers interning at the station. Mitch curtly says Dawson can do that if he wants to. And Gail's like, yes, of course, if he wants to. God. I'm paraphrasing barely. That's the sense of it.
No. No, that's accurate.
She says she knows Dawson's happy in Capeside. Mitch guesses Gail is not. And things get testier. Clip 9.
I have a job opportunity I want to take. You know that I have outgrown my career here.
So what you're saying is that your decision is based on what's best for you and not what's best for our son.
Saying is what's best for me is ultimately what's best for our son. And he, believe it or not, understands this, which is more than I could hope for.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me?
Just that I'm leaving tomorrow.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I mean, they are two satellites orbiting Dawson's enormous head. Moons to a planet.
Now I get it.
Oh, there you go.
Now I get it. I mean, wasn't there a whole kind of like shite motif earlier in the season about how Mitch is kind of a trifler? Like,
yeah,
income wise.
Right.
So it's like, all right, this is a more major market than Cape Cod 57. Mm-hmm. So, like, why don't you also get a job then, bitch?
Right. Well, he did get a job. He started subbing at the school. He replaced Mr. P.
Yes.
And another job with even more responsibility to come in season 3. Spoiler!
Mm-hmm.
At the ice house, everyone is studying except Pacey, sitting there looking miserable. His mood does not improve when Sheriff Witter walks in and, by way of greeting, demands to know what Pacey is doing there. Pacey snits that they're signing a peace treaty, then mutters the truth. Sheriff Witter asks Joey where her dad is, but then Mike comes out from the lounge himself, greeting Sheriff Witter by his first name and saying they're closed. Managing to be chill for a second, Sheriff Witter first names Mike back and asks to speak in private, and Joey immediately tenses up and clip 10.
What's going on?
Listen, don't look at me. My father's crusades are his own deal.
Hey, Mike, how you been?
Good, and you?
Good, thanks. Listen, seen this guy around?
Pete Lewis. He's an old friend.
Yeah, with an alleged history in narcotics, Mike.
Well, I wouldn't know, John. We have a strictly social relationship. He stopped by for a visit, catch up, that's all.
Huh. Find everything you need, Mr. Witter?
Sure did, Joey, thank you.
You need any more help back here, Dad?
No, we're done. Listen, have a good night. The place is looking great, Mike.
Thanks. Hey, stop by next week when we're open. I'll get you a free dinner.
I'll do that. Thanks.
What's going on?
He's just giving me an official welcome, that's all, Joe. Go back to your friends.
They're never gonna leave us alone, are they?
Not for a while.
I guess we'll just have to ignore them.
I understand why they've gotten so quickly to Joey being like daddy's girl again, but I don't mm-hmm. totally buy it. And it's like it's the best way to tell, spoiler, I guess, that like it's all about to fall apart. Because if they had more time to develop it, I think they would have spent more time on her being like reticent versus chirping in like this, like, everything okay, Dad? You know what I mean? Like, if he was going to stick around, I think we would have gotten more of her not embracing him so quickly.
Especially since prior to his getting back, it was just like there was a whole episode devoted to her visiting him and how difficult and fraught their relationship was because right. he, you know, in addition to becoming incarcerated, was cheating on her mom and yeah. left her without, you know, any parents on campus. So mm-hmm. like, I would believe that, and we have seen some of it from Bessie, I would believe her like having this sort of desperate cheer take. Mm. But Joey, it's a little harder to line up.
Yeah. So he just smiles and pats her cheek and then drifts away, which is when Dawson comes out to check on Joey, who obviously knows something is actually up, but continues trying to save face by bitching about why Pacey's dad is doing this. Dawson sighs that it's Sheriff Witter's job. Joey sputters that his job is to serve and protect Capeside from criminals, not her dad, and Dawson just does a long blink and says he knows she's mad. Joey pouts that Dawson should be mad too since he's part of the family now. When she says it like that, he's furious, he says, and they kiss. And in a back room, Mike is making his most gormless face as he zips open a duffel bag to make sure all the cocaine is still in it. And then closes it again and sits at the desk looking helpless before snapping the blinds closed. By the coffee machine, Jack is trying to convince Jen to give Grams a chance. Jen says Grams is doing her usual doublespeak, but that she doesn't really want Jen around. They go back and forth until Jack says Grams is right. Jen's circumstances aren't the same as his. Michelle Williams does her usual great job looking appalled and hurt, but then has to try to sell overwritten dialogue that makes Jen sound crazy. Clip 11.
Thought that we had developed a closeness.
We have.
So then why do you want me to go?
I never said that I wanted you to go.
Yes, you did. I mean, bringing up my grandmother, talking about me moving back, it's obvious where that leads.
Is this what you did with her? You turned our words all around until you're convinced that she wants you to go?
You don't have any idea what you're talking about.
No, I think I do. I mean, you act like moving in with me is going to be some great salvation. Let me tell you something. It isn't. Because my dad's going to have to sell the house soon, and then we're both going to be homeless.
Hopefully by then I will have put myself out of my misery.
What? Don't say that.
Don't worry, Jack. Statistics are on my side. But I'll be gone by tonight.
Don't do that. Don't joke. Especially not to this poor kid who's already had to live with someone who was probably bipolar and might have said things like that off camera all the time. Like, he's already been a caregiver. Don't put him in that position if you don't actually mean it.
Well, and writers, don't half-ass this. Like, I mean, if you don't think the character is just being a drama queen, which I don't think they do, then you can't just like say some shit at the top about what statistics say and then not like at commercial breaks have resource chyrons. Like, don't fucking stick your hand in this if you're not prepared.
Yeah.
And I will say in this scene that Jack nails her to the fucking wall.
Mm-hmm. Then a Molotov cocktail is crashing through the window of the ice house storage room, starting a blaze. Outside, Sheriff Witter barks at Pacey to stay out of the Potter's business and worry about his. He got a call at the house. Pacey assumes it was Andy, but Sheriff Witter says it was Mr. Milo, concerned about him after basically abstaining from his finals. Times two. Clip 12.
What were you thinking? I was thinking that it doesn't really matter, okay?
The hell it doesn't. You get your things. You're coming home.
No.
I don't want you hanging out here, Pacey. Mr. Potter's a known felon. It doesn't make me look good.
Is that what this is about?
Get your stuff.
I said no.
I said get your stuff.
Hands off me. Oh.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But that's not all. Inside, Mike sees the fire in the storage room, and instead of getting the children, including his own, out of the burning building, he kneels at the toilet that is, by the way, and you can see this in the visual aids, way too close to his desk. It's like two steps away from where we're supposed to think he
like
works.
Just scooch over in his desk chair, unzip, and like arc a P Kelvin sticker style into the toilet. Okay. But no, because the toilet is a magical drug toilet,
I guess. Yes, he starts tearing open bags to flush their contents. I don't want to tell this man his business. He can rip them open with his fingers. This product is not properly packed. Just how I feel.
I watched The Wire. I agree.
I am, as previously stated in a bonus episode, Joe Drugs, so I know. In the dining room, the giant head of Dawson is the first to smell smoke. Joey races toward her father while Dawson follows. Outside, Pacey alerts Sheriff Witter to the fire and then runs to the building as Sheriff Witter calls it in. And the kids all look for Mike, who hears them and pops up at the window of the office, screaming to them to get out. Pacey has to physically pick Joey up as she shrieks for Mike. Jack notices Jen just frozen and snaps her out of it. And as Pacey gets Joey outside, Dawson, improbable, and Sheriff Witter both start spraying fire extinguishers, allowing Dawson to get close enough to break the office window and pull Mike out. All the kids but Dawson watch the building burn before the last three people stagger out, all alive. The best and truest moment is Pacey perfunctorily asking if Sheriff Witter is okay and Sheriff Witter waving him off. I thought that was like a tiny moment that was really well done on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And as Joey hugs Mike in relief, Mike looks over Joey's shoulder at Dawson, glaring at him disgustedly. And then Dawson kind of feebly coughs. Just was funny to me. After commercial, the firefighters are on the scene and Dawson is pissily asking Mike if this is his idea of taking care of things. First of all, unstick yourself was your idea. But anyway, clip 13.
It's not that simple, Dawson.
You need to go to the police and tell them everything you know.
I can't. It's too dangerous.
This is too dangerous.
I'm all checked out. They asked for the hero next. That would be you.
Not a hero, Joey.
Don't be modest, Dawson. You saved my life. You're the hero.
Some situations are too tragic to have a hero. This is one of them.
Shut up!
Just take the W, you twat.
Also, it's literally not tragic. Everyone lived. Like, go back to school. Open the schools.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, then, Dawson's parents show up to check on him. And Bessie shows up with the baby to hug Mike and Joey. And inside, Sheriff Witter is talking about an active police investigation to his minor son. Clip 14.
Bastard was lying to me. He's in it up to his neck and he knows it.
Come on, you don't even know if this has anything to do with him.
A random arson incident in the middle of Capeside? Let's consider the likelihood of that, Basie. If God hadn't blessed you with my good looks, I wouldn't know whose son you were. Why don't you drive yourself home before you make another embarrassing comment?
I think I'll walk.
As if I care.
No, we assumed you did, Pop.
You'll have to excuse my son, boys. His girlfriend moves away, and suddenly it's his time of month.
Hey, screw you, okay? Get your hands off me, or you don't touch me again, ever!
Finally, my boy gets a pair. All it took was getting his heart broke by some little girl with a few screws loose.
It's Pacey punching his dad.
Andy did more for my life in 6 months than you did in 16 years, you rotten son of a bitch. So if you want to make fun of me, you want to bust on me, that's fine. But you so much as make one more even slightly disparaging comment about the woman I love, and I swear to God, you're going to be policing this town from a hospital bed. You understand me?
Violence isn't the answer, but fuck yeah to all of that. Honestly, I love how Canadian Joshua Jackson sounds when Pacey gets mad.
It had enough Boston in it that I was content that I always enjoy that.
Yeah.
Just for the record, the way that SFX punch sounded, there shouldn't be an intact bone in John Finn's face after that. But as usual, he's just like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's screws and pins.
Yeah. He then adds clip 15.
Even if Mr. Potter was involved in all this, he's still 10 times the father you ever were.
Okay, two dads can both be bad for opposite reasons.
Yeah.
Not get crazy. But the important thing is Pacey made Sheriff Witter look weak in front of his shitty first responder buddies, and good job.
Mm-hmm.
At home, Joey gets out of the shower to Bessie and Mike talking through next steps for insurance and so on. Joey wants to know why the ice house has been taped off by the cops. Mike says that's procedure for arson cases, and Joey's like, and that's all? And they go on, clip 16.
Joey, what are you saying?
I'm just asking Dad if he knows why the police are so interested in the fire or why there was even a fire in the first place.
As God is my witness, I have no idea.
You're positive.
Josephine Potter, you stop it right now.
No, I want him to swear.
I just swore to you, Joey.
I know, but I need you to swear again. I need to know that you're telling me the truth. Do you have any idea who started that fire?
No.
Okay. Well, that was easy.
And could technically be true. We don't really find out.
That's true. Elsewhere, Mitch and Gail are telling Dawson he has to go to the cops immediately. Dawson doesn't want to be the reason Joey's family breaks up again, but Mitch says, actually, that's on Mike, which, true. Dawson wonders if he couldn't just give Mike some time to fix things, and Mitch is like, he's been out less than a month and he's already doing the same crime again, except worse, actually. He's escalating. Dawson rakes his fingers through his hair, because of course he does, and says he wishes he had never seen what he saw. Gail says there's a reason he did, I guess cosmically, and it's because Joey's in trouble and needs Dawson's strength, even if it doesn't come in the way she may want. Mitch repeats that he has to go to the cops because there's nothing left to do, but Dawson says there's one more thing and takes off, and that's when I notice Dawson still has ash all over his face, so I hope they put like an old beach towel down on the couch before they let him have this conversation inside. At the former McPhee house, Jack asks Jen why she froze earlier. She mumbles that she was in shock and then claims she doesn't remember. Jack asks her straight out how serious her little comments about suicide actually are. She hoarsely says she's not the kind of person who would take her own life, which is reductive and a judgy way to put it. It's not what we would say now. But she adds, staring at the fire, she couldn't stop thinking this was fate giving her an out. She doesn't want to die, but she didn't care enough to run. And as she starts sobbing, Jack says he understands what she's going through and the numbing pain of self-hatred that makes you want to push everyone away, including the people who love you most. But you can't if you ever want to be happy. He reaches a hand out and Jen takes it, letting him pull her up and hug her so she can cry on his shoulder. It's a nice scene. They both did a nice job.
Yeah. This conversation is too nuanced for this show and these particular writers, I think, but they did better than I thought they would.
So Joey's sitting outside when Dawson returns, still all smudgy, and says he has to tell her something she's not going to like, so he's going to do it quickly. Clip 17.
Joey, your father's dealing drugs again.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. I caught him. And that's not all. This fire tonight was not all but partially his responsibility. I talked to him about it. I talked to my parents about it. I didn't want to talk to you about it because I didn't want you to have to know, but now it's gone too far.
He told me he had nothing to do with the fire. He swore to me.
He's lying to you.
Well, I believe him.
I know you want to
believe him. No, I do.
Joy, why would I lie about this?
Why are you doing this?
Because you need to know the truth. This is a very dangerous situation now. That your father can help apprehend the people who are responsible for this. If we went to the police, maybe you could work something out for your dad.
You want me to turn my father in? What kind of a person do you think I am? Why are you doing this?
Dude, this isn't my fault.
Yes, it is.
There's no other option.
Look, you just couldn't leave well enough alone. You had to get involved.
Joey, I love you, all right? I'm not going to let you risk your life to protect somebody who isn't protecting you.
Dawson, this is my father. I am begging you, please, just stay out of it.
I can't.
Yes, you can. I mean, not just for me and not just for my family's sake, but for us. I'm telling you, Dawson, we won't survive this.
That's a risk that I'm willing to take. Because I care about you more than I care about myself. And somebody has to do the right thing. If you can't, then I will.
This is a complicated situation. Like, I don't know what the right thing is. Like, he's already, once he's told his parents should have taken care of it. Like, he should not have inserted himself.
Agree.
Because I did think, like, should he have gone to Bessie first? But I think Bessie is so, like, she's even more pro-Mike
in the tank.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm just sort of trying to think how this would have gone down in a similar situation in my house, which probably would have been, honestly, Barb taking a Louisville Slugger, going over to the offending parent's house and being like, you're going to do the right thing, I trust.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the car. Let's go do the right thing together.
Yeah.
But someone should have taken this off Dawson's plate, not just because he'll look for any excuse to be self-righteous, but because he's 16 and this is not a matter for kids.
Right. That's not what happened or what continues to happen. However, the scene ends on Joey reeling before we smash cut to her in Sheriff Switter's office, presumably the next day with Dawson and both of his parents. Clip 18.
If I have to wait until I have enough proof to arrest your father, he's going away for life.
I don't think that's how it works. Like, what? Don't you have proof? If not, then why are we doing this?
Honestly, the more that I think about it, the more I think that Gail should have gone to Mike and been like, I have a maternal relationship with Joey.
Yeah.
I'll try to cover your action, but you're going to get people killed. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Joey is also dubious about this. Clip 19.
You don't even have proof. So why should I go along with this?
Joey, the men who tipped me off to your father's dealing are his competitors. They're also responsible for that fire last night. Now, if your father doesn't help me get them, they're going to keep helping me until I get him.
You guys have no idea what you're asking me to do.
He is putting your entire family in danger, Joey.
Well, it's my family, Mr. Witter. And what benefits my family is being together and trusting each other.
Do you think your father's betrayed that trust?
Not right now. I think I trust him a lot more than I trust any of you.
This makes no sense. Okay, so the local dealers who are already established. The Barnes & Noble of cocaine in Capeside.
Right.
Were concerned about books or magic of drugs.
Borders.
Yes, okay. Popping up. So they went to the cops and said, this other guy is dealing. And then Sheriff Witter is going to try and use Mike against them. How?
Isn't he already using them against Mike?
Right. And like,
so, I mean, if you have proof against them,
right,
then lock them up.
Yes.
For the arson, which you should do anyway, because now you're in like a felony territory. But
yes.
Like, and kids were involved. Like, this talk about embarrassing you. But like, if one side gave you proof against the other, then start making arrests. And if they didn't, then why is this a plot line?
Right.
I know why it is.
This is what we've been handed. So Joey saying she trusts her dad more than she trusts anyone in the room seems to be an especially tough blow for the Leary parents, who really have done a lot for Joey, especially Gail. But Dawson stays calm and asks to speak with Joey in private, which, I don't know, Dawson, I suggest you go outside because this pig definitely has an illegal tape recorder rolling somewhere. Just saying.
Yeah.
But that's not actually a plot point. That's just me. When the adults have left, Dawson says Sheriff Witter just wants to help. I'm sure he does. Like, if he did, probably Bessie would be here. Joey sarcastically says she appreciates everyone's concern, but not having the solution forced down her throat. And they go on. Clip 20.
I tried to talk to your father.
Yep, that's just it, Dawson. You tried. But he's not your father, Dawson. It doesn't matter if he goes off to prison for the rest of your life, does it?
That's why I came to you.
Yeah, with the decision already made.
I wish there was another option. There isn't. You have to understand that.
I understand, Dawson, that in that black and white world in which you live, you didn't see any choices. But that's not my world. I see things in gray, and that's what makes us different, and that's what made me fall in love with you, and that is what is tearing us apart.
No. It isn't.
What are the shades of gray about your dad is doing something that caused the building you were all in to almost get burned down with you in it? Like, what is his side, do you think?
Yeah.
Sometime later, the Leary parents sit together at a picnic table next to a picturesque pile of lobster traps and Clip 21.
We did well with our son.
Oh, did we?
Right.
Did you? We now?
Is that why your co-parent is leaving town?
Yeah, but Gail agrees, calling Dawson their one success. Mitch scoffs that they've had more success than that. The past 24 hours have reminded him of what he loves about being in their family. Dawson counted on them when he needed to, and Mitch felt like a father again and a husband. Gail is gobsmacked as Mitch physically gets down on one knee in front of her. Yeah. And Clip 22.
Stay here with me. With us. Please.
You see, ever since you left, I have prayed for the day that you'd come back. And when that didn't happen, I started seeing Philly for what it was. And oddly enough, it felt more right than anything had in a long time.
Yeah, well, we can be right again too, Gail. I want my old life back. I want us.
No, you want what we had. We'll never have that again, Mitch. So, I'm going to do something that's right for both of us. I'm going to take the unplanned route for a little while. In the hopes that whatever we lost, we'll be able to stumble upon again.
What?
That was my question. I mean, I hate to use these buzzwords, but what he's doing when she has been very open this entire season of like, I want to get back together with you. And then him not being interested until she's like, okay, you don't want to do that? I'm leaving town then. Like, he's love bombing her. That's what this is, it feels like. I mean, it's not much of a bomb.
Yeah.
A love firework, but still.
Yeah. Also, it's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's a day trip.
Yeah.
Just start fucking again. And if you want to get back together, try it long distance and see what happens. Like, I take her point.
Right.
And kind of just on GPs, she should be like, fuck you, jabroni. I'm going to Philly.
Yeah.
For the reasons that you said. But it's also like, as we just saw as we're recording this on Only Murders in the Building finale, like, grow up.
Right.
It's not forever. There are trains. Get over it.
Yes. Yes.
Also, you're the parents on a teen show. Do what you're going to do, but just get out of my face. Who cares?
Mitch tries to twist the knife by asking whether Dawson understood her decision. Gail says Dawson understands how much she loves him, and she thinks that's enough. I don't know why they're not having her say Dawson understands what it means to make sacrifices to have a fulfilling career. Just kidding, I do, because he's a boy and she's a girl. That's why they're not. But we switch to a long shot. And as we see Gail clap a hand on Mitch's knee and then quickly wipe a tear away, which again, like the earlier moment with the Witters, a tiny moment that I thought was nicely observed.
Mm-hmm.
For the second time in two episodes, Jen walks her luggage up to the sun porch at Grams's house. This time, Grams is in there folding laundry and turns at the door creak with a very sweet look of relief. But Jen has to start the reconciliation by being kind of a bitch. Clip 23.
I have three conditions. One, that we address the reality of why this didn't work out before. I know that I made some mistakes, but even on my best behavior, I never felt like I was comfortable living here with you. I never felt like I was good enough.
Oh, Jennifer.
Two. I need you to acknowledge that I've been through a lot in my life. More than most girls my age, and what I need is your support, not your judgment. Especially not biblical judgment. What you need to understand, Grams, is that I don't need a legal guardian to be able to survive. And that I can handle a lot more than you might think, but that what I want is to live here with you. I want a family. I want us to take care of each other. And I don't want to be alone anymore.
Neither do I.
But you're not alone. Alanis is standing right next to all of us. Turn the mix down, show shit. Still, aw.
Yes, that's sweet. I think it's a little much for me, like, I don't need a legal guardian to survive. It's like, okay, well, who's going to pay your rent? Something.
Yeah. Wasn't Michelle Williams emancipated from her parents?
Maybe.
I mean,
could be.
I feel like she acts this really well, but immediately it was off-putting to me at the time and still is now. She's like, I have three conditions. Like,
yes. It does not say hello.
Yeah, come within arm's reach because I have some conditions as well.
Well.
Low pockets. I mean, really.
But after they have hugged, clip 24.
Was there a third?
Yes. For somebody else who doesn't want to be alone anymore.
Camera pans over to Jack.
Well, I've been meaning to clear out your grandfather's room for a while.
Chosen family!
Woo! Yay!
We love to see it.
Canonical Graham's house, teen force assemble. Love it.
At the waterfront, Sheriff Witter saunters up to Pacey, who asks what he's doing there. Sheriff Witter says, for starters, Pacey punched him. Pacey tells him not to expect an apology, and Sheriff Witter says he doesn't need one. He deserved it, and good for Pacey for doing it. He's there because Pacey got another call today from Andy. Clip 25.
He talked for a long time. She's kind of chatty, that one.
Yeah, she is.
She sounded sweet as hell, Pacey. So I'm sorry what I said yesterday. I really don't know anything about her.
Apology accepted.
I'm not done. As little as I know about her, I know even less about you, my own son. I realized that as Andy was trying to fill me in on what you two had been through. I didn't know about any of that. She said you were her hero. Nice to hear. Anyway, I called the school and I explained things to them. They're going to let you make up the finals next week when you feel up to it.
Whoa! Pacey finally has a parent who cares what happens to him.
Yeah.
progress.
Like, I don't buy it, but I like this for the actor that it's like, well, finally you just get this one slightly less all over the place and shitty thing to play.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah. Pacey clears his throat and hoarsely thanks him. Sheriff Witter says it's the least he could do. And like, it literally is like, this is giving half a fuck. That's what it amounts to. He adds that he's sorry he hasn't been the kind of father Pacey felt he could tell his story to. And poor Pacey just cries.
Tremble chin.
I know.
Right, like Claire Danes class. Well done, Joshua. True. Jackson.
Oh, yeah, you're so right. Sheriff Witter remembers that Andy wanted Sheriff Witter to give Pacey something. It's a hug, but Pacey looks completely confused until Sheriff Witter's arms are like actually around him and gripping his dad. Pacey sobs that he misses Andy so much it's killing him. And Sheriff Witter knows. Oh, that's nice.
I know. Successful manipulation.
Over to the Potter house, where Joey walks in so stiff she looks like she forgot how to work her arms. Seeming resigned, Mike asks where she's been. She half hides in the kitchen doorway. She admits she was talking to the cops, and he's like, oh! Joey asks if Mike is dealing drugs again, and Mike immediately starts crying and says yes. And Joey also starts crying, and clip 26.
Joey, I wish I had an answer for you. I wanted to provide for my family. Not just survive, but provide. I thought if I just made a little extra money, get ahead, maybe there'd be a chance for us.
Yeah, but you served your time. I mean, you were supposed to start a new life.
I wanted to, Joey. But what you don't understand is the burden that I felt.
We were a burden?
Not you. You girls are my gift. The burden was self-inflicted. Ever since I moved back in here with you, I have been haunted by the knowledge that I have failed you.
Then why didn't you tell me about this? I mean, we could have found a way. We could have done something.
I was just too weak, Joey. I have been up night after night after night wondering what compelled me to take that road both times. And I just don't have an answer for it.
But I trusted you. And you lied. And you ruined everything that Bessie and I have worked so hard for. I mean, we could have died in that fire, and it would have been your fault.
I know. And I hate myself for it so much that I wish I had died in that fire.
Don't put that on her cock.
Yeah. I guess my official position is that's too harsh, but like, do better. Dude, for real. Yikes.
Yeah.
Mike burbles that he doesn't know how to fix this and is so sorry. And hardening her eyes, Joey says she's sorry too and that she took care of it for him, pulling up her shirt to show him she's wearing a wire. She gasps that she's sorry. Mike tells her not to be. I had forgotten this part and I was like, oh.
Me too. Yeah.
They got me. They really got me.
Yeah. I had completely forgotten it also. And all of this is, despite being completely contrived to break up Joey and Dawson by the most like soapy means possible.
Yes.
This is a lot better done than I remembered, especially Mike Potter. Garris Williams. Is that
his right.
name? Yep. I can never remember his last name. Especially I remembered being like community theater bad. He's pretty good given how dumb and 1.5 dimensional this plotline is.
Yeah. So then Mike is walking out in a different set of clothes to a waiting cruiser, looking back miserably at Joey. This is when we see Bessie is standing outside with the baby and presumably was there the whole time. Mike tries to smile at her and she looks away. Sheriff Witter puts Mike in the car and both sisters cry as it drives off. But when she passes Joey on the porch, Joey stops to not say anything to Joey. A, rough. B, I just watched the season 3 premiere and like this doesn't come up at all. And I was kind of disappointed. Like they just, this feels like it was the start of something and then they just dropped it, which I was not happy about.
Yeah.
Anyway, the shot reverses and we see that Dawson's also been loitering on the edge of this official business with which he has no official involvement and wearing giant jeans while doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the long shot, his neck, she is so wide. But
it's
when they're close enough to speak, he asks how Joey's feeling. Like hell, she spits. And they go on. Clip 27.
Is there anything I can do?
No, thank you.
You did the right thing, Joey.
No, Dawson. You did the right thing. What I did, word right doesn't even come close to.
We both did what we had to do.
What I have to say, you're not gonna like, so I'll say it quickly. I hope one day that I will be able to forgive my father for all this. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive myself. But I know that I will never forgive you. You see, Dawson, there are certain circumstances that love cannot overcome. And from now on, I don't want to know you.
Relatable.
That's the end of the episode and the end of the season. Viewers at the time had to wait months to see what was going to happen next. This is a ballsy cliffhanger, I have to say.
Yeah, even though I don't entirely believe that this would be her. Like, I understand this was the end point to which all of this was driving.
Yes.
But I'm still not entirely sure that I buy any of these emotional responses from her, despite Katie Holmes really almost selling it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait a couple weeks to tell you what we think of this. But for now, let's close it up with the episode MVP. Grams.
Yeah, Grams.
Grams, sure. opening the house to all of the orphans.
Yep.
Least valuable player. I'm going to say the dad who smacked his kid in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah. And is also even more inept than you might expect from small town law enforcement.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, kudos to the actor for making him less hateful. And hopefully this is an improving trend line. But
yes.
Yeah. Sheriff Witter, fuck off.
And then we got to do the season MVP and LVP. Who is your season MVP, Sarah?
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Pacey, I think.
Oh, yeah, Pacey. That's a good choice.
Well, I just think that he had it in him all along.
Mm-hmm.
But we, of course, know that already from the benefit of 2024 hindsight. But also, there were things that did not work for me in terms of like how these characters would be progressing. But his, I think, was probably the most successful, credible work in that regard. His acting is probably the best on the show, too, most of the time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of that. And just to mix it up, I will say Jack, who really went on a journey from beginning to end that I think was overall handled pretty well with a few weird choices along the way. And I love where he ends up, and that definitely affects it. Okay, least valuable player of the season.
Dawson. I guess it's actually Mike. Or the Massachusetts, the Barnstable County Parole Board is not doing great either.
Yeah, but you got to give it to Dawson. He's such a twat.
Yeah, it's true. Next time on Again With This, the third season premiere is, alas, almost all about Eve. But there's also Joey maybe having regrets about unknowing Dawson. Wrong. And Jen taking aim at Capeside High's head cheerleader. Also probably wrong. You should aim some Visine at your cornea before checking in with our visual aids. That's the important screenshots and GIFs from this and every other episode of the podcast ever. You'll find those at againwiththispodcast.com. and the entire archive of episodes of Again With This, 90210, Melrose, and The Creek, all at againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. I'm not magical enough, drug toilet, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is bleak but slightly inaccurate Wartonian parallel, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is doing good, real good. And legal. Talk to you next time.
I want to be your pony adventure.
Waits just long enough that I forget that that exists. And then the horror.
Legends, the greatest social casino and sportsbook experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.